So a favorite scene of mine from a movie is found in the film Parenthood. Toward the end of the movie, Gil, played by Steve Martin, is complaining about how complicated his life is. His elderly grandmother then walks into the room and, seemingly out of the blue, but clearly on point, says this: "You know, when I was 19, Grandpa took me on a roller coaster." Gil replies, "Oh, up and down, up and down. What a ride." "What a great story," Gil blurts out sarcastically. But Grandma, undeterred, continues, "I always wanted to go again, you know? It was just so interesting to me that a ride could make you so scared, so frightened, so sick, so excited, and so thrilled all together." Some didn't like it. They went on the merry-go-round. That just goes round. Nothing like a roller coaster. You get more out of that. Well, believe it or not, that scene came to mind when I thought about Abraham and his journey that we hear about in this morning's passage from the Hebrew Scriptures. There's not much more that can be said about him but that which we hear in biblical stories. He was probably one of many wanderers, of semi-nomads who, about 4,000 years ago, left Mesopotamia and moved westward toward the Mediterranean Sea. By most accounts, he was already old, advanced in years, and when he left his home, his initial call was quite clear. "Bring yourself out of your birthplace," Yahweh tells him. "Abraham, take yourself out of your father's house, your homeland, to a home that I will bring you to see." That's it. Now, consider that calling, and you will perhaps understand why I thought of the scene from the movie. It must have felt like a Bronze Age equivalent to a roller coaster ride. Abraham is called to come out of his origins, to make a radical break with the past, a threefold break, in fact, a break with the place of his birth, a break with the house of his father, and a break with his country, with his homeland. Abraham is called by this new God, this God who is not the God of his fathers, this God who is not the God of the Mesopotamian pantheon of gods, called by this God to throw away everything that defines who he is, to throw away his birthplace, his father, and his homeland. All of this on the basis of what? A goal that is unseen. A land, quote, "I will bring you to see." Not only is it a radical action on Abraham's part, it's also the first time in Scripture that we hear just such a call. No one before has been asked to come out. No one before has been asked to go beyond him or herself. We don't see it in Abraham or any of his descendants all the way tracking through Noah. Abraham alone receives such a call and follows the words of Yahweh before he even comprehends that call. And in a real sense, he's never even told the purpose of the call. He's told he'll get something in return for his loyalty. But the purpose, what's the purpose of this loyalty? It's never revealed to him. He simply hears the call, gets up, and goes. He gets up and leaves what probably was the most developed civilization of his day, rejects its ways, rejects its culture, all in favor of a life that's harder than anything he could have imagined. Such an action, I would suggest, goes beyond obedience. This type of action, this type of letting go, can perhaps only be described as an action of one who's been captured by something beyond himself. In a way, it's sort of like the actions of one who's fallen madly in love, head over heels in love, falling long and fallen hard, fallen without hope of ever finding the way back to the way one lived his life before, grasped by a presence that's beyond one's wildest imaginings. What else could leave a person to let go as Abraham let go? Certainly not some crazy, unseen promise of a far-off, faraway land. And I would dare say not even the promise of descendants as great as the stars of the sky. But Abraham, however he manages it, does indeed let go, does indeed manage to come out of the life he's lived, manages to begin his life again, living it in a way he probably never could have foreseen. And having let go, having made this radical break from the past, Abraham becomes for us the exemplar of faith. And the faith I'm talking about isn't belief. Nor is it obedience. The faith I'm talking about is nothing less than love. Abraham becomes the father of the love of God, the father of all who would come after him, loving God with such a passion and such a zeal that they would follow the object of their love, even if it means giving up everything that they've ever had or ever been. That's the sort of faith Lent calls us into. Not a faith that's defined by belief or faith interpreted as obedience, but rather a faith that's expressed as love, as complete and total trust, and a complete and total offering of oneself to the other, without thought of cost, without fear of result. The problem is, and I suspect for most of us, we feel more like Steve Martin in the movie. We want to let go. We want to have faith. We want to love wholeheartedly without reserve. But that sort of willingness to take risks, that sort of willingness does not come easy. Such a love is frightening. Such a love is nerve-wracking, even dangerous. We may somehow manage to get ourselves onto the roller coaster, but even then, we hold on with all our might. We're white-knuckled, eyes closed, lest somehow we're thrown from the safety and security of our everyday, normal, good, and decent lives. We hold on, eyes shut, even as we hear God saying, "I like the roller coaster. You get more out of that." The good news in all of this is that even if we don't believe, even if we don't let go, even if we can't let go, ultimately, like it or not, we will let go. God's patience with us is beyond anything we've known. Think of all the arguments that Abraham had with God in the years that followed. Sure, he got up and went, but he and God spent the next 30 years arguing. Time and again, Abraham asked for something more tangible than a promise, something more real than this fleeting sense of love that was always vague and inconsistent at best. How can I be sure, God? How can I know you're telling me the truth, that it will come true? And each God would speak words of reassurance. I give you this land. I give you these descendants. It's going to happen. It's going to happen, Abraham. Just be patient. Just wait. According to the story, Abraham died with not much more than that. He had, of course, looked into the eyes of Isaac and Ishmael, his sons, but if the promise that his children would be as many sands of the sea, those two boys must have looked sort of like two specks of dust on a mirror. Hard to imagine that they would ever turn into the sands of the ocean. But in the end, God had his way with Abraham. In the end, God will have his way with us as well. In this season of Lent, may we learn something of the letting go. May we glimpse with Adam's eyes. May we sense with Adam's love the joy and freedom that God has in store for each and every one of us. Amen.